welcome, my friends, to the Generations Radio Broadcast. Kevin Swanson with you today, and we have a special treat for you on this edition of the program. We'd like to see how the Word of God affects every area of our lives, but a huge part of our lives is what happens on Monday morning when we get up, get out of bed, and go to work. A huge part of our life is work, business, and as Christians, we have an obligation to serve the Lord of Lords and King of Kings in the marketplace. And the question today is, how do we do that? How do we live 80% of our lives for Jesus Christ? And more in my family, when we start out the day, I remind all of my children as we get out to do our various duties, and many of my children are working various projects now. They're graduated and they're doing other things. I remind them that no matter where they go, no matter who they work for, and whatever contract they're working on today, we are all the servants of the Lord Jesus Christ. And that's huge. That's huge in terms of our identity on any given day. We have to remind ourselves, wherever we are, wherever we go, we are serving the Lord Jesus Christ, who served us, who was the King of Kings, who is the Son of God, came to earth and served us in an amazing way, giving his life for us as an amazing pattern, of course, for us as well, as we're to serve him as well. So this is the lesson that comes back to us almost every day in the Swanson home. But today we're going to talk about how our Christian faith affects us in the workplace. And with me is William Pollard, who is who has been the CEO of ServiceMaster, a very large corporation. And incidentally, I worked for ServiceMaster in the 1980s when I was working my way through college at a part-time job. Working with ServiceMaster, but it's a huge organization, and William Pollard worked with them for quite some time. He's written a book called The Tides of Life, Learning to Lead and Serve as You Navigate the Currents of Life. The book's about leadership, but it's also about Christians in the business world and how we integrate out there in the business world. Bill Pollard has 4 children and 15 grandchildren. And now he joins us on the Generations broadcast. Welcome, Bill. It's good to have you with us.
Kevin, it's good to be with you.
What a wonderful life. God has blessed you. As I read this book, I think, now here's a man who God has blessed. What would you consider to be your biggest blessings, do you think?
Oh, the blessing of a wife. We are just about to celebrate 55 years of marriage. The blessings of children and grandchildren, those have been great blessings in my life.
Yes.
I think also there's just simply the blessing of seeking to understand life as I've moved along, not always making the right decisions, but my theme for this book, The Tides of Life, is reflective of a favorite pastime of mine, and that is sailing.
Mm.
And when you sail a boat, you recognize that you are going to be subject to forces that are not in your control and you don't see. You may feel.
Mm-hmm.
The biggest force would be the wind. You feel the wind, but you don't see it.
Mm-hmm.
If you're sailing in the oceans, of course, you're going to be affected by tides. And that's true about life. That's true of what I found about life. That in the making the choices of life, we often have to deal with forces out of our control.
Obviously, important choices become in definitive moments in your life. Would you say it's prayer that makes the difference? And would you looking back at the most important choices you've made, would you say it was prayer that made the difference, or were there other factors that played in as well?
Well, prayer is important, mm-hmm. but when I talk about prayer, I also talk about talking with God.
Mm-hmm.
I think that was important. I think it was very important. Certain people were very important in my life at different times.
Sure.
As far as their mentoring or their advice, or their judgment. And often when you make a decision, what makes it a good decision is what you do after you make the decision.
Okay.
Judy and I were married a little over 55 years ago. And while we had dated for a couple of years before we got married, we really didn't know a lot about each other. What's made it a great marriage is what we did after we made the decision.
Mm-hmm.
And that's often the case of decisions, is how you implement the decision.
Follow through is essential. You've got to follow through. Davy Crockett would say something, always be sure you're right, then go ahead. But
yeah.
The going ahead involves the work, the making sure that you're following through on the decision and seeking God and seeing that the decision produces the best effect.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. Exactly. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Mentorship, really important. We talk about mentorship probably every week on the program, largely because young men are hurting in our present society. They're not launching very well. Youth unemployment is twice what it was in 2001. It's unemployment, underemployment is 80% for high school graduates, and it hasn't recovered after two recessions. So a lot of tough news right now, and we're encouraging more mentorship. Are you seeing that mentorship is happening? Are younger folks seeking out mentors, and are the older folks willing to do the mentorship?
Well, I can only give you a sense of my life at this stage, is that I have numerous requests from people to be a mentor as such, and I always, when I discuss that with the individual, I always remind them that mentorship, if it's structured, in my experience, if it's too structured, in other words, I'll meet you one day a week and listen to you, it isn't as valuable as being available.
Okay.
When you're needed. And the less it's structured, at least my experience in life, formally structured, the better off it was. So as I reflected the things that I got key advice on,
yeah.
It wasn't because it was around a structure. It was because at that moment, God had me with a person who I respected,
uh-huh.
who listened to me, and gave me good advice.
Wow. I can see that's really critical. And it's important to listen to that advice as well. I think, you know, the younger person needs to be open for that advice and consider it valuable. Because an older person has been through that experience, they've got that wisdom, and if we just value that, then I think there'd be a lot more seeking, you know, of that wisdom.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Let's talk about the Christian in the business environment itself. You've been a Christian out there. Does a Christian operate differently in the business environment? In some senses, I guess integrity is integrity no matter where you go. But do you see that a Christian operates differently?
Well, you know, I they should.
Yeah.
We are ambassadors for Christ, and we need to reflect His way in what we do, whatever that might be. We don't always do that, and when we don't do it, I think in my experience again, Kevin, it was important for me to recognize, and I didn't do it, and ask for forgiveness. So I think we are. The embodiment of Christ. C.S. Lewis says that God doesn't do any, seems to do nothing by himself that he can otherwise delegate to those he created.
And
the fact of the matter is that that's what we are. We are his ambassadors to this world.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
That's how God is seen through us.
Do you recommend that business owners or managers share their faith in the business environment?
I do, although I have a phrase for understanding how to do that, or trying to understand how to do that, and that's the importance of learning how to affirm our faith without imposing it.
Mm-hmm.
And if we share our faith in such a way, especially in the marketplace, where we are really heard and coming across as, I've got the answer, you don't, and all you need to do is believe the way I do to get the answer. If that's the message that comes across, it doesn't, you're not engaging the person,
mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
for the most part.
Yeah. sometimes more is caught than taught. So
yes,
you have to live it too.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And we, you know, the founder of our company used to say he was a Christian. And the way he put it is that he couldn't leave God in the pew on Sunday. He had to bring him to work on Monday.
Mm-hmm.
And when we were a smaller company and he had the opportunity of interviewing people that were joining the company, when he discovered that somebody was a Christian, he would say, you know, I'm glad you're coming to work for us. And I expect you to take the time to share your faith when appropriate. And if anybody comes and complains to me about you doing it, you know what the question I'm going to ask him?
Mm-hmm.
Is how are you doing your job?
Yeah, how are you living it? Mm-hmm.
Yep.
Mm-hmm.
And if you're not doing an excellent job, you just better be quiet.
Yeah. Yeah. Honesty, kindness, hard work, conscientiousness, that's all Christian. That's what Jesus wants.
Yeah, he wants us to be an example.
Yeah.
There's no question about it.
Yeah. Do you think that that Christian leaders ought to be, in general, more loving, kind, interested in the lives of those they manage than perhaps those that are sort of in that dog-eat-dog mode of things?
Well, one of the chapters in the book is entitled The Battlefield of the Market and the Mind.
Yeah.
The marketplace is a highly competitive world, and there are elements of it that represent the battlefield. You are in that vice. There's no question. And sometimes you can trust people, and other times you can't. But at the same time, in the end, regardless of what a incident may reflect, can that person trust you? Will they come to you with a problem? I spent part of my life practicing law, 10 years of my life practicing law.
Mm-hmm.
I had learned in law school how to cross-examine people when they were giving me a story that I wanted to find out what was really happening. So at times I came across in the business world as cross-examining the people I worked with when I was getting a report. And I had to be very careful about, in the end, they understood what I was trying to do was trying to get at the reality of what they were saying, the substance of what they were saying, and not gloss over something. Sometimes that required me to come back to them and say, you know, what did you think about my conversation with you? And let's talk about it, if I felt I was pressing too hard. So I don't think there is, I think the reality of the market has its stresses in it. The reality of life has stresses in it. And sometimes we need to check our behavior, or if our behavior is not reflecting the Lord, then we do ask for forgiveness.
Hmm. Very good.
And, Jesus got pretty upset when he saw the money changers in the temple, didn't he?
Yeah, yeah.
So there are human reactions when you see things that are wrong.
Sure. Well, ladies and gentlemen, Bill Pollard has written a good new book full of wisdom. The Tides of Life, Learning to Lead and Serve as You Navigate the Currents of Life. Also, a foreword by Billy Graham. Do you know Billy Graham?
Well, I do. Yes, I worked and served on his board of directors for over 30 years.
Hmm.
Yeah.
Boy, you've got a commitment to ministry, commitment to business. Is there a difference between ministry and business? This is something I grapple with all the time because I'm involved in both sides of this thing. Your thoughts on that?
No, I would say no. I think my life in business was a full-time Christian ministry.
Wow, that's great.
And I think we often bifurcate our how we talk about life and how we talk about the mission field. In fact, Billy Graham has often said that maybe the marketplace is the greatest mission field that has a harvest that would have a harvest ready for reaping.
Mm.
So. I think business can be a full-time Christian calling.
Yeah.
yeah, you make money in business, and maybe you don't make as much money if you're pastoring a church or you're a missionary, but money isn't the measurement. The measurement is the people God created, and there's a lot of different people who need Jesus in the marketplace. Those people are all part of the world that God so loved, as described in John 3:16.
Yes, yes. As a successful businessman so interested in impact for the kingdom of God, wants to support ministry, your thoughts on giving money away? It seems to me that giving money away can be as difficult as earning it in some ways.
Well, yeah, although, you know, Kevin, where I start with that is Psalm 24. Psalm 24 reminds us that God owns everything.
That's right. Earth is the Lord's.
So if I'm sitting earning some money and have some excess money, it's not mine. It's his.
But you need wisdom. You need wisdom in distributing.
And then I reflect on what Jesus was teaching in the parable of the talents. You remember the steward who buried his talent, and then wanted so he could give it back. And the master said, "You didn't even put it in the bank for interest." Jesus doesn't want us to give back what he's given us, or God doesn't want us to give back what he's given us. He wants more. He wants us to be productive with the talents, the financial resources, the gifts, the opportunities, and he wants a return on that. You put those themes together, starting with Psalm 24 and the whole principle of God owning everything, and that we're stewards, we're investors of what he's given us, whether it's our time, our talent, or our treasure.
What do you look for in a ministry or a business that's actually accomplishing something? Sometimes there's all show, no blow. You got to understand something of the show blow ratio, I guess. But your thoughts on that. How do you know you've got a ministry or a business that's out there really accomplishing something, investing the talents and increasing their talents?
Well, sometimes the results can be somewhat quantified and measured. Certainly in Billy Graham's ministry, when you think of the number of people that he shared the gospel with and the number of people that made decisions, that's a measurement factor. Mm-hmm. Not all of our work in serving, whether it's a for-profit or a non-profit or in a church, is that measurable. But again, it comes from the sincerity of the people, their desire to serve, what they want to accomplish, and their openness about what they're doing and how they're doing it, their transparency. That's very important to me in a ministry as such, is how transparent they are with their use of the resources that they have, including people resources.
Let's talk about priorities, looking at the full picture of the man and his life, your life. Priorities are important, but how does a Christian man maintain that strong sense of priorities on a day-by-day basis?
Well, I'll give you a little story on that if I have 5 minutes.
Sure.
Or 3 minutes.
Go for it.
Okay. Peter Drucker was a counselor and friend of mine. And one day I was presenting a long-range plan for our business to Peter, and he made some comments on it, and then I tried to play back the comments of what he was saying to me, and I said, "Peter, what you're telling me is I need to get my priorities straight." And he slammed his hand on the table and he said, "No, Bill." He said, "Find the priority and do it." Mm-hmm. And then he gave me a lecture on the word priority in English language. It came into the English language in the 14th century. It was singular until the 20th century.
Okay.
And that night I was wrestling with questions of not only priorities in the business, but priorities in my personal life. I was getting advice that I wasn't spending enough time with my family. I wasn't spending enough time exercising. I weighed too much, and all these different things that I should be doing that I wasn't doing, I didn't think. And what were my priorities? And I was reading in Matthew chapter 6, and that verse just stood out loud and clear. "Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. All these things will be added unto you."
Wow.
That had to be my priority.
Amen.
If God wasn't in it, there was no time for it.
And that's the priority.
And that's the priority.
Hmm. Wow. That's significant. Very important. Folks, read the book, The Tides of Life by William Pollard. One last question for you. We have just a minute or two left, Bill. What do you want to tell a young husband, young father, just starting out? Try to picture yourself 55 years ago, just starting out with a young family, just starting out in the business world. We've got a number of these listening to the program right now. What would you tell them if you had a chance to talk to them?
Don't be over-concerned about the uncertainty.
Okay.
Life is always better understood looking backward than forward. And know that you have a God who listens to your prayers, understands you, and wants the best for you, even though you can't see it. And when you pray and you have a decision to make, a choice to make, and you're uncertain, and yet you feel the presence, you should go one direction. And you prayed for his guidance. God isn't an Indian giver. That whole feeling of saying this is the right way to go, even though you don't see the end, is part of God's presence in your decision.
It's a life of faith. You've just described
yes.
A life of faith. Yeah. Powerful. Well, thank you so much. Your wisdom has been very, very important for us today, and we appreciate the book. We appreciate the interview. God bless you, Mr. Pollard. It's
thank
good
you,
to
Kevin.
Have you with us. Folks, you've been listening to the Generations Radio broadcast. What a blessing to get some wisdom from a man who's been in the struggles, been on that journey, on that voyage so many years, and he's got a lot of wisdom to share with us. Primary of which is mentorship is important. Really, really important. How many times have we talked about mentorship on this program? And that's one reason why we put together the Kickstart program, friends, in order that our young men or our young ladies might learn something about the value of mentorship and how to find good mentorship and how to be a good listener and a good apprentice in that mentorship. I'd encourage you to get this resource, friends. It's called Kickstart, and it's available on our website. It's a full-year course, and we encourage entire church groups to pull maybe a group of 10 or 12 young men together and have a older man in the congregation walk them through this basic introduction to mentorship and effectively provide them a kickstart for life. That's right. Get a hold of our Kickstart program. I think it's vitally important. Boy, times demand that we do more for our young men especially. And that's why we put together the Kickstart program available on the website, KevinSwanson.com or GenerationsWithVision.com. This is Kevin Swanson inviting you back again next time as we continue to lay down a vision for the next generation.